of Seriously Your Podcast. So today, we're going to be talking about endometriosis. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I always pronounce it weird. Is it correct? Yeah, okay. So before we start, just want to like plug all the socials so that you guys can follow if you are interested. So you can head over to the Seriously Official Instagram. So like that's SRSLY official, one word, on the Instagram. So in the link tree in the bio, there's actually the links to everything, like so all the socials. So like all the links to the different avenues that the podcast is available, the YouTube, the TikTok as well. So if you don't mind dropping a follow and supporting, that would be great. That would be awesome. So please do it. Thank you. I usually engage the audience on Instagram, so that's like a good place for you to like have your say in what it's talked about in the episodes, and to also like collab or whatever if you're interested. Also there's a Ko-fi, so if you don't mind just buying a virtual coffee for me, it's just $2. It would help me out a lot to be able to do more content for you guys, and I really appreciate it a lot. And I'll shout you guys out as well if you guys buy me a coffee. So like, yeah, that's all. So before we carry on with the rest of the episode, just a disclaimer, because during this episode, we talk about how the surgery seemed to be the answer to Yan Xiao's pain. But unfortunately, Yan Xiao's endometriosis did recur. After the surgery, it did help her for a while, but the pain did come back. So now she has to go through some other avenues to try to get rid of the pain. So just a little heads up. This episode does come from a prerogative that the surgery was the answer, as it was at the time. But currently, the situation is not exactly like that. But yeah, so we'll carry on with the rest of the episode now. I think it was just really important for me to point it out, because sometimes something might work for a while, sometimes it might work longer, but like there's no like one cure for endometriosis right now. So just dive right into the episode. Today I'm joined with
Yan Xiao. Hi everyone, my name is Yan Xiao, and I am currently a student in Murdoch University studying psychology, mm-hmm. and I also have a part-time job, which is a Chinese teacher in an enrichment center. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a condition called endometriosis.
Yeah. Before that, I totally forgot to introduce myself. So I'm your host, Sim, in case this is your first episode and you don't know who I am. But yeah, okay, now we can get started. So Yan Xiao mentioned she has endometriosis. So shall we like go through briefly what it's about?
Okay, so endometriosis is a condition in which tissues similar to the lining of the womb are found outside of the womb. So they are usually found in areas such as the ovaries, the fallopian tubes, and tissues lining the pelvis. But it can be found in anywhere in the body. But they are more common in the areas that I've mentioned just now.
So it's like overgrowth of tissues.
Yes.
Affect like your body in a sense, because yes. It's like not supposed to be there. Okay, so it's not cyst, right? It's just like tissues.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are like some symptoms that people with endometriosis usually have?
So the most common symptom is a painful menstruation. So they will get very bad period cramps, and then they will have heavy bleeding, like very very heavy bleeding. So for myself, I actually had super heavy bleeding that require me to use about maybe a few packets of pads each day. Yeah. And then there's other symptoms such as pain during or after sexual intercourse. And then there's chronic pelvic pain and infertility, as well as painful bowel and bladder issues if the endometriosis are growing on the bowel or the bladder. Yeah.
So that's all like the symptoms, right?
Yeah.
So does someone who is living with endometriosis have any like risk factors if they are diagnosed with it?
I think the risk factors would be not having given birth before, or like they have a family history of endometriosis, especially among the mother or the sisters, and anatomical abnormalities such as a blocked vagina, or being Asian or white is also a risk factor. Yeah.
Okay, so it can affect, like if you've never given birth before, it can affect in a way. In the future. Okay. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's more questions that we can go into about what endo is, but I think just covering like the basic like symptoms and risk factors for now, it's okay, because you'll be getting to the treatment while you're talking about your journey also, right? So I guess maybe before we get started, so the audience has some extra questions. So like, for example, can someone with endo be cured fully? Like, is there ever like a 100% cure?
So far there's no definitive cure to endometriosis, but it's a chronic condition that we have to live with for the rest of our lives. But there are hormonal medications and surgeries that can help to relieve the symptoms of endometriosis and make it more bearable for us to live with.
Okay. So like someone, like you mentioned briefly also just now, like one of the risk factors is knowing whether there's a history of it in your family.
Yeah.
So is it genetic in some sense? Like if your mom has it, you higher chance to have it?
Yes. So if the mom has endometriosis, there's a higher chance that the child will have it, but it's not 100% genetic. Yeah. And actually, a popular theory to explain endometriosis is that it's caused by retrograde menstruation. So when the menstrual blood flows backwards into the pelvis instead of flowing out into the body via the vagina. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I cannot imagine that. It sounds so painful. Oh my gosh. Okay. Are you like born with it, or like, is it something that like you can just develop like as you go into like your later stages of life?
I'm not very sure if I'm born with that, because I didn't do any ultrasound images.
That's completely fine. It's just one of the questions that people had, so I guess like can go and search for it. It says that the symptoms usually show up when you're in early adolescence, so you can be born with it lah. So like, but the symptoms only come up when like you start to go into puberty, I guess, because like you mentioned, it's genetic. So like, it makes more sense that like, it doesn't like just randomly come up out of nowhere. It's probably like has been in your genes. It's just whether a matter of time whether you actually do feel symptoms or not. So like, hopefully that kind of clarifies like that question. And I guess another question that people have that we can go into more later as well is, can you have like endo and then also have like PCOS or adenomyosis, like two things at the same time?
So yes, you can have all these conditions together, because they are actually different conditions. But adenomyosis is very similar to endometriosis in the sense that for endometriosis is where the tissue similar to the lining of the womb grows out of the uterus, like into the pelvis area. But for adenomyosis, it's actually the similar kind of tissues, but they grow into the uterus walls.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's like different areas of the body affects. Yeah. Okay. So I guess now that we have like kind of answered briefly about what endometriosis is, of course, if you guys have more questions, drop me a DM at CUST Official so that I can try to clarify more of the questions that you guys have. But if not, then we can get into your personal journey, into your like living with endo experience. So let's start with maybe how do you first know that you might have had it?
Actually, for me, I have very bad period cramps since my first ever menstrual period at 10. And then the bleeding was like very, very heavy as well. So I had to change a pad like every 10 to 20 minutes. And then in school, when I get my period, the cramp will be very, very bad until I have to like take MC for the first few days kind of thing. Yeah. And then the pain actually worsened and the bleeding became like heavier and heavier throughout the years. And then the pain changed from like from period cramps to like daily pelvic pain when I was like 18. So that's when I decided to get it checked out. And then it's like when I got it checked out, like at different doctors, they all say like, oh, I'm exaggerating, or like it can't be so painful kind of things. Yeah. And then they basically, everybody trivialized my pain until I met this TCM, and like she suggested that I might have endometriosis. So that's when like actually I first heard of the word endometriosis.
So before that, like, you didn't even know that there was such a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned that you got the pain when you got your first period, right? So like, how old were you then?
When I was 10 years old.
Okay. Wow. Do you mind like sharing like that experience, like how was it like?
So it's just very, very bad period cramps, and like it's very, very painful to the point that I keep taking MC because of the cramps. Like every month, I would have to take MC because of that. And then
like a lot of blood coming out.
Yes, a lot of blood. The bleeding is very, very heavy. And then like for primary school, it was okay because the uniform was like dark color.
Oh, okay,
yeah, but
okay,
then in secondary school, the uniform was white. So there were a lot of occasions where the blood just leaked. And then because even if I change pad very often, the blood will still leak out because of how heavy it was. And
yeah,
and then I sometimes the pain is just very, very bad to the point that I vomit like crazy. And then I cannot like get out of bed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're 10 years old is quite young still. Because like, this one of the earlier ages people get periods, right?
Yeah.
Then, like, do you have, like, any, like, friends last time when you, like, saw that they get their periods? Like, do you ever feel like, how come they don't feel like what I feel?
Yeah.
Now they have it so easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, yeah, I see people, like, I got asked my friends about their period cramps and stuff, and, like, they don't really feel anything.
Yeah, so...
And then like when I get older, because I was in softball in secondary school, and then I share with my teammates because it's just very, very painful to the point that I cannot go for training on my period.
Okay.
So when I share with them, they will kind of trivialize my pain and think that I'm not trying hard enough kind of things. Yeah.
Oh, like they just think like, oh, just take painkiller, you'll go away kind
of
thing. Yeah, that's not nice. Okay. I'm so sorry you had to go through that, man. Like, especially you're doing softball. Like, that's such a, like, rigorous sport.
Yeah.
Then you constantly have, like, pelvic pains. It's not easy, lah.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned you started getting it diagnosed when you were, like, 18. So, technically, you, like, kind of bed with it for 8 years.
Yeah.
So, like, throughout those 8 years, like, how did you, like, feel? Like, going through all of that, like, kind of alone in a sense? Because people were, like, not understanding your pain.
Yeah, like I felt very upset, like, because like everyone around me, really nobody understood the pain. Like when I share it with my friends, they will trivialize my pain, and then people will say things like, I'm not trying hard enough, and that I just want to get the MC to rest at home, to skip school kind of things. Yeah, and then I felt like kind of like a burden because like during my school years, like I have to keep taking MC because of period cramps.
Okay, so like throughout all of this, like, do you like ever like confide in your parents, and if yes, then like what was their reaction towards all of this?
So like initially my parents basically said the same thing, like it can't be that painful and stuff. And then like as my cramps got worse and worse throughout the years, I think they sort of asked me to seek help, like
asked you, lah.
Yeah,
okay.
Like in the end, and then like my mom was the one that dragged me to the TCM.
Okay.
Yeah, and then yeah, they sort of became like more supportive towards the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when they found out it was endo, like, did they have any like reaction towards it, or were they kind of like glad to know like what it was?
They sort of, I think my parents were glad to know, but like initially when they first heard of endo, they were like very shocked and like, because they thought it was just normal period cramps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, towards the end, like, they were very happy for me to have found the answer to my pain. Yeah.
So you mentioned that your parents, they were shocked. Okay. So like, your mom doesn't have it, right?
Yeah. My
so
mom
that
has...
probably is an extra shock because it's genetic as we found out. So like, okay. So do you want to just like talk a little bit about your journey like while getting diagnosed, like how that whole process was like? Because you mentioned to me like we've talked previously, like after the TCM, you actually did go to like multiple doctors.
Yes. So after the TCM, I went to a private gynecologist. So that's like my first ever checkup with a legit gynae to like do all the scans. Yeah. So when I went to him, he found like polycystic ovaries showing on the scan.
Okay.
So he thought that it's PCOS.
Yeah.
Then after that, he started me on hormone medications, and then he thought that the pain was caused by the PCOS. Yeah. But then after the hormonal medications, it didn't really help.
Mm.
So I went to another gynae, and then that gynae, he did the scan and said that I might have adenomyosis through the scan. So, he started me on some other hormonal medication because there are a lot of different types. And then, he told me that, As we tried more and more medications, he just told me that, oh, it can't actually be that painful. Yeah, since I'm already on so many medications.
Your doctor told you that?
Yes. Okay. Then after that, I changed to another gynae. I changed to quite a few gynaes, and then they basically said the same thing after a lot of hormonal medications failed on me. And then, I found like a Singapore endometriosis support group, in that support group, people recommended like this very good endometriosis specialist. So because at that point of time, the previous gynae diagnosed me with adenomyosis, which is a bit similar to endometriosis. Yeah. So I went to that gynae and then that endo specialist. So I went to that specialist and then she said that, it's adenomyosis causing my pain. And then she was more patient with me in the sense that we tried more hormonal medications. And then some worked to a small extent, I guess. Like, they only worked initially and then after maybe a few months and then the pain will come back. Yeah, and then that gynae, she eventually suggested surgery for me. And then, actually we booked all the surgery dates and everything. And then about 1 month before the surgery, I got admitted again to the hospital for period cramps. Mm. And then that gynae actually started gaslighting me. And then she said things like, oh, actually, it can't be that painful. And then if we do the surgery, maybe it will only help with 10% of your pain, and then the rest of your pain is probably caused by stress and anxiety. Like right before the surgery, like 1 month before the surgery, because initially I was very hopeful that the surgery can help. She suddenly said that, I just broke down in the hospital, and then like I changed to another gynae because in the endometriosis support group there's a list of the few endometriosis specialists that I can see. Yeah. So I went to another one, and then that doctor, he listened to me, and then he actually said that, oh, actually the pain doesn't really correlate with the pain level doesn't really correlate with the amount of endometriosis that they can see on the scan. And like, not all the endometriosis can be seen on the scans, lah. Like some you have to really do the surgery and go in and see via the laparoscopy. So I decided to do surgery with him because like he was sort of confident that the surgery can resolve my pain. Then after that, so I did surgery with him last month.
Okay. Actually, before we continue on, right, do you want to also, like, briefly, like, mention what PCOS is to, like, the people who don't know what it is? Is it polycystic ovarian syndrome, right? So that one is more, like, about cysts rather than the tissues.
I think that one is basically your ovaries, they show a lot of, like, it's not a host, like, it's just hormonal disorder.
So it's like it's a little bit different,
It's quite different.
Do you feel like you got like wrong diagnosis because like on the scans it looks like it could be either one of the three, even though they are very different?
Actually, not really. Like because initially my ultrasound only showed polycystic ovaries, and then that gynae, probably he's not specialized in endometriosis. So that's why even if there is, he also cannot tell.
So it's more like having the right doctor that understands how to interpret.
Yes.
So you mentioned that you also like had a lot of hormonal treatments, right?
Yeah.
So are the treatments like injection or like you take pills every day?
I tried a lot. Yeah, there are some that I take pills every day. There are different forms. And then I also tried the implant, the hormonal implant at my forearm area.
I've heard of that.
And then I've tried IUD as well. But all of them didn't really work very well for me.
They have like side effects also, right? They were still like, do you experience any negative side effects?
Yes, I actually, there are a lot of side effects lah. So I experienced things like weight gain, and then for like, there are some injections, hormonal injections that will cause me to like get hot flashes and like it just felt very uncomfortable. And then the hormonal implant made me very, very suicidal. Yeah, to the point that I had to take it out. Yeah. Mm,
yeah. Also, you mentioned that one of the symptoms for endo is actually like bowel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned to me like previously that one of the doctors thought that it had to do like your bowel like issues, right?
Yeah. So actually initially before I met my TCM, when the pain was quite bad, I actually went to see like the normal GP. Yeah. And then he said that, I should see all the gastro doctors. And then I went to like gastro specialists, and then they thought that it's just intestinal cramps, and they thought that it's irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's like all the treatments that we covered, and like also like what you experienced. So you experienced like a lot of pain, like bowel issues also. Sometimes you feel like fainting and everything. Then even like the treatments, they give you like negative side effects. You got like misdiagnosed multiple times.
Yes.
So like when you finally like got the correct diagnosis and you finally like got to go for the surgery, do you want to like walk us through like what the surgery is and how it was like?
Okay, so the surgery is a laparoscopy surgery, so it's like keyhole, so they cut like small holes on the tummy, and then it's not an open surgery, so that will allow me to recover faster.
Yeah.
And then there's basically different types of laparoscopy. So the one I did is to excise my endometriosis, to cut away the endometriosis found, and then also to like see what's really going on inside, because this is my first time doing it.
Yes.
So the doctor have to see like what's really going on.
Yeah, like actually see like besides the scan.
Yeah. So basically from the scan, he only saw like endometriosis on my left side. So when we went in, there's actually endometriosis on the left, as confirmed by the scan. And then there's also endometriosis found inside my fallopian tube. Yeah. Mm. And then on my bowels as well. That explains my intestinal, like the previous misdiagnosis. Yeah. Then
So it's actually possible for there to like be endo in your fallopian tubes and like your intestines also?
Yes.
Okay. That's something I didn't know.
Yeah, endometriosis can actually affect anywhere in the body.
Okay.
Like there are people with endometriosis with like on the heart and stuff, but that's like very, very rare.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then, so you went for surgery. So like, how was it like? Like, was it like a very like quick one? Like, were you like asleep in the...
Yes, it was actually only 2 hours around there. Yeah. And then I entered the operating theater, and then the moment I entered, they just put me to sleep. And then after I wake up and like everything is gone, and I immediately felt the relief actually.
Like the pain is gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay, so like, how did it make you feel like when, cause you mentioned to me at first you really didn't want to go to surgery, right? So actually, how do you feel like when that was like your only option? And then also, how do you feel like when you finally had it and you didn't feel like as much pain anymore?
Like when the surgery is my only option, I actually felt very, very scared and upset, because I actually had a previous surgery when I was young, and then I woke up in the middle of the surgery.
Yeah, that's so scary.
Yeah, it's very scary for me.
Yeah.
And then, because the pain was like very, very bad every day, so I really wanted some relief. The end, I was taking like opioid painkillers like every single day, which is like very, very bad.
Yeah.
So I just decided to just go in and see, because I really want to like get some relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then found out that it's really this endometriosis causing my pain, I was very, very relieved because initially I actually thought that I'm really crazy to get the pain. Towards the end, yes, I finally found the answer and I'm very, very happy. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so like currently like it's been like a month, right, since the surgery. So how are you feeling like now? Like your pain wise?
Yes, I haven't gotten that crampy pain for like right after from the surgery until now, which is like very, very good for me, because I haven't felt this good in like the past 10 years
or
so.
Yeah, of course, because you got it when you're like 10.
Yeah,
it's been so long already.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So like, does it ever affect like your periods? Like when you're doing all the treatments, then you hormone here, hormone there.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever have like phases where like you suddenly don't have periods?
Yeah, actually all the hormonal medications, I think most of them put me on like menopause, because there are a few that causes chemical menopause, like totally no period for like 3 months. Yeah, but then there are some that cause like light spotting, like bleeding, but that's not my period. It's just like a side effect. Yeah.
Then does it like ever like affect your fertility in any way like that? Because like your period keep like being like forced to go into early menopause in a sense?
Yeah, I think actually I've asked my doctor before and they said that it don't really affect my fertility.
Okay.
And in fact, some of the hormonal medications that I'm on, like the hormonal injections, actually they give it to people who suffer from infertility.
Okay. So now your periods are like back to normal, would you say?
I'm still on hormonal medications to prevent endometriosis from coming back.
Okay. So you have to like constantly still be on medication to prevent like worse pain from happening.
Yeah.
But the surgery kind of helps because you removed a lot of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess now we can talk about maybe how the endo impacted your life in any way. So you mentioned to me that actually because the pain was really bad, you dropped out of school, right?
Yeah.
So like how was like that whole experience, like that effect that it actually affected like your schooling?
Yeah, so I dropped out of school because of the pain in like secondary four without like taking the whole O levels.
Yeah.
And then my only O level cert was from like secondary three because I was in higher Chinese. So I have to take like the express Chinese O levels in secondary three. So that's like my only O level cert lah. So it was very, very difficult for me. Like even after I got better and then I wanted to like return back to school, but then without like all the certs, I can't apply
it's
for
hard. Yeah, courses. Especially in Singapore, it's legit so hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then, so you had to go private route, right?
Yeah. So I went to like take a private diploma. Actually, I took like two private diplomas because the first private diploma, I took it because it was like in a Chinese language using that uni O-level Chinese cert. Yeah. And then after that diploma, I took another diploma using the Chinese diploma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, now I guess that diploma, I was like doing something that I like.
So it did like derail your schooling a bit, but now like you're back on track because like you managed to like kind of control the pain in a sense by doing like your treatments and surgery. Were you ever like in and out of like the hospital while you were in school?
Yes, I was in and out of the hospital all
so
the time.
So that's quite tough also, right? Because like you like skip classes and like you cannot do homework and stuff. Okay. Then did it ever like affect like your friendships in any way?
Yes, I think it affected quite a lot. So because I was in and out of the hospital, I think many friends left me and then I had to like keep cancelling plans because of the pain.
Of course, it's
unpredictable. So I don't know when it will come. Then I keep making like last minute cancellations of plans. So I guess a lot of friends left me because of that also. Then actually like not everyone can understand like most of my friends, they will ask things like, oh, I thought you just got discharged from the hospital, like why are you back, why are you in pain again, kind of thing. Like
they're
they
not
don't
understanding.
Yeah, they don't really understand that it's a chronic condition.
Then were your teachers like ever like that also, or like do you have like understanding
teachers? Actually my teachers, some of them were pretty understanding, but there are some like pretty nasty ones. Like they will think that like I'm crazy to be in pain all the time. Like every time when I go to the general office for pain or like anything, like maybe some teachers will walk by and see, and then they will say things like, oh, you are here again, it's you again, kind of things.
I think like what you mentioned about how like there's gonna be people like whether for family or friends or teachers even that like will just kind of like discount your feelings and invalidate you because they don't know how you feel, and that's like part of the stigma. So like they'll probably just think that because they're not you, they'll be like assuming stuff about you, like oh, you're faking or all that kind of stuff, which is not nice.
Yes.
And it's quite scary to me to think about it. Like if that was me, I would feel kind of isolated, yes, in a sense, because like nobody understands me.
Yeah.
But like in saying that, like, do you like have a good support system as well, like friends that you could rely on besides like your parents to like support you through all of this?
Actually, for my friends, really a lot of them left me after I left school, and like they sort of like they are leading their own lives, like, and like I don't really have any like really very good support system. Like my close friend, like my very very close friend, she went to Australia after that, so we like she can't be like beside me all the time, like, and then so I rely on like my parents, lor.
You actually started, like, your Instagram is chronically YG, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you started that, like, it helped, kind of help you have, like, an online community in a sense?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, in that, on the Instagram page, actually, like, people will sort of connect with me. Like, we will talk about similar experiences, and then we can relate to each other kind of things. Yeah.
So, does that help you in a sense? Like,
definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys can go and check out like the Instagram. It'll be linked in the caption. So it's at Chronically YJ. I mean, it's how I found her lah. So like, basically like, you basically chronicled like your entire experience there. There's also like a lot of very informative posts on there. And there's like a bunch of other accounts that I saw also. So like, there's more and more communities out there in Singapore that's like trying to speak more about endo, trying to like break the stigma, trying to like build communities, because it can be very isolating, like you mentioned you found like the support group, and that was like a turning point for you in a sense, because you were like a bit helpless before that. Okay, so like with regards to like dating life, right, I mean, I can only imagine that it might be quite tough also, because like you were constantly in pain. So like, did it ever like affect you, like in terms of that aspect?
Actually,
of your life?
Yeah, because the pain was very very bad, and like I didn't want to date any guy. Like, there are guys that come to me, but then I would reject them because I feel that I don't want to burden them. And like, I didn't want to like give birth also. Like, it's a bit far lah, but yeah, I thought to myself that I will never give birth because I scared that this condition will pass down to my child, and like, I don't want to see the kid suffer. Yeah.
No, I totally get that mindset. I think, that's a very, very valid mindset. Like, it's a very tough thing to say out loud also, because it's like, it's a very sensitive topic to like talk about, like, you know, like whether you want to bear kids or not. So I think like the fact that you're like so like forward thinking in a sense, where you're like, you know, this could potentially affect a future generation, and you know, like the pain and stuff like that. And to tell a guy that it's not easy also, because like from what I know, guys like to carry on their bloodline and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I guess like I do feel that you're very brave for like being so open with them, and like yourself also, like not forcing yourself like in situations to like date. Because I think like for me, right, like I don't know if I could do that, because like, I think there's a lot of FOMO like when your friends are like dating,
yes,
and you're not, and like they get like first kiss, like lose virginity and all that. It's hard lah. So I don't know if like you experience that FOMO thing, but I'm like trying to put myself in your shoes. I feel like I don't know if I can be as strong as you are. Like, you are actually really strong, in my opinion.
Thank you.
I would imagine that, like, for those who are sexually active with endo, it'll probably be quite tough also, lah.
Yeah.
Because, like, pelvic pain.
Yeah,
like,
I think it will cause pain during the sexual intercourse as well. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's a lot, lah. And I think, like, that's why people should talk about this more. Because it's like, it's just not enough awareness on it. People just kind of like assume too many things about it, when like there's actual like women out there who are like suffering.
Yes.
So like, yeah, it's really, really like important. So we also covered already like how you're recovering now and everything. And I guess something that's very, very important that we have like kind of brushed upon is the fact that you actually got gaslighted multiple times, not only by your friends and family, but also by medical stuff.
Yeah.
So do you want to just like talk more about like the medical gaslighting, like what it is and like how did it affect you?
Okay, so like medical gaslighting is basically when like medical professionals, like doctor or like nurses, they dismiss or like trivialize your symptoms, and like they attribute your symptoms to psychological causes. Yeah, so actually medical gaslighting really ruined my life, I would say, like, because when I go to doctors, they will say things like, I'm too young to have the pain, or like, it can't be so painful. And yeah, basically yeah, a hard. Lot of nasty stuff. And then it's very, very hard to get the correct diagnosis when they say these kind of things, because every time you go to a doctor, you would think that as a doctor, they are supposed to, like, they can help you with your symptoms. And then when you come out, it's like, they tell you such stuff, which is like, it made me like doubt myself also lah. Yeah, and like basically actually I experienced like a few years of medical gaslighting before like the correct diagnosis, so it's like really very very bad. Maybe if like the first doctor could like listen to me more and like go up, like try to do more things for me, maybe I would have been diagnosed early and like I won't have to like suffer so much. Yeah.
Cause it's kind of like you're already in physical pain and now they're affecting your mental health as well. And it does sound very unprofessional to me. Like I personally never heard about it until like I started like reading people with endo stories, and I was like, oh my god, this like medical gaslighting thing is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like they just like, it's very like common for doctors to just kind of like brush it over, kind of like, oh, you're exaggerating your pain.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like the first person that I saw like talk about this. So I'm like, yeah, this is really like, it's awful. I mean, the fact that like you're making kind of someone like question their sanity.
Mm.
Like, I mean, you mentioned it, like you were kind of like, oh, I felt like I was crazy in a sense.
Yeah.
And like for you to say that is a lot. Like for you to question like your sanity.
Yes.
It's just not nice. So I think like the gaslighting thing, hopefully in the future will stop. If like more people keep like bringing this up, then hopefully like they'll get more aware of it. I mean, personally for me, right, I'll just talk back to my doctor, not like to be rude or anything, but I'll be quite pissed lah. I'll be really upset.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you have like any advice for others who might be going through this as well?
So like for the people who are not diagnosed yet, right, I think what you can do is that you can try to see endometriosis specialists, because they are the ones that can really tell like endometriosis from the scans, and then that will increase your chances of being diagnosed correctly. And like usually these doctors, they tend to gaslight, not gaslight you, but even if they do, they don't gaslight you as much as like the normal gynecologist. And like if you are struggling a lot with the pain and then your doctor is making you like question yourself, you just know that, you know, your pain is real. And then because pain is a very subjective thing, like you cannot like question yourself based on what other people say.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then for people who are already diagnosed with endometriosis, please like don't ever give up. I know like this fight is really very, very tough in the sense that we have to live with it for the rest of our life. But then always look at how far you've come, and then don't ever give up.
Yeah, I think that's like super well said. Do you wanna like share any of like the support groups that people can turn to, or like good clinics or doctors that you went to that I can like put in the caption?
Okay, so So my current gynae, I find him very, very professional, and he's like very, very skillful as well. So he's Dr. Stephen Teo. He practices in Thompson Medical Center and the Royal Square Medical Center in Novena. And then there's a endometriosis support group on Facebook. Yeah, you just search Singapore Endometriosis Support Group. And then actually there's a endometriosis website as well. It's the first endometriosis website in Singapore. I think it's called, let me try to find it.
Okay.
I think it's endosupport.sg.
Okay.
Yeah, this support group. Okay. Website. Yeah. Okay. It's basically like sort of linked to the endometriosis support group on Facebook.
Yeah. And there's like so many that I found like on Instagram as well. I think more celebrities also I've seen. Like there was this girl from Love Island that I watched. Like, after that I went to like follow her Insta. Then she also has endo, right? And she was like, I think is it a yellow symbol?
Oh yeah, the yellow.
Yeah, ribbon. So she was like posting about it and everything. So I think that was like the first time I saw people speaking about it publicly on like the internet and stuff like that. And I think recently there's more and more people like speaking about these things, there's more online support groups. If you can't find like real life support groups, there's definitely like other avenues, I feel. It's easier to connect with people online sometimes also, like, because like you find like-minded people going through the same thing. It kind of makes you feel like less alone. I guess that's something that I was hoping that maybe, you know, if you hear like Yan Jiao's experience, that like if you're going through this, you might feel less alone. So you could like reach out to her too.
Yes.
Because like, I don't know, like it might help to hear that, you know, you're not alone in this.
Yes.
And to know that, you know, it's tough, but there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Like for you, your pain is much better now. So like, it does help. I guess for me, I would just say that, same thing. Just like take care of yourself. Believe in yourself, like your pain, like validate your pain. And try to surround yourself with people who are not going to make you feel like shit, because this is not easy to live with. And just reach out to anyone that you might need to. If you want to see like professional people, then go reach out to like professional people. I can link some down as well, like some like clinics, therapy, whatever, in case like you guys might want to turn to anything. If not, you can also like go check out her Instagram at ChronicallyYJ. You can reach out to her as well. And drop me any more questions if you guys have any more questions. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience, like being so honest with everything. I really, really hope this episode like helped you guys in some way or another. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'll see you guys in the next ep. Bye.